Good morning. Welcome to Mountain View, and happy May to worship. It is good to worship with you this morning. As Zoe makes her way up to the front to tell us what's going on, I just want you to know that there's lots happening in the life of our church, and we're excited to be a community together. So let's worship together. Good morning.
So upcoming events on the back of the bulletin. Music Heritage Sunday is coming up on May 20th, and there'll be only one worship at 10:30 with a luncheon to follow. Also, the Boulder is coming up, and they need volunteers of 14 years of age or older. For more information, contact Vicki Kaplan. Another upcoming event is the Africans Children Choir on Friday, August 17th, and they're coming back to Mountain View. Enjoy the Maypole celebration.
Good morning. I'm Ken Bettenhausen. I'm here to talk to you about the Maypole campaign. The short version is this. We need you to get out your checkbooks and write a check to Mountain View. We need $50,000 to keep the lights on and to, more importantly, to remain a vibrant part of this community. Now, here's a slightly longer version. My family and I moved to Boulder in August 1991. We found Mountain View in February, and we joined in May. We were 1,000 miles from home, looking for a church to reinforce the values that we wanted to raise our family with. I grew up Methodist. My wife grew up Catholic. We both felt at home here the very first time we came to visit. We were attracted by the warm, friendly people. I was amazed at the resources and opportunities that Mountain View offered, especially Linda Chambers and the children's music program, but also parenting classes, Bible studies, the baby boomers group, and all the opportunities to serve and contribute and volunteer for our community. 1,000 miles from home, Mountain View was our extended family. The kids found mentors and surrogate grandparents. Jean and I found a welcoming and supportive place that allowed us to grow and deepen in our faith. Now to Maypole. Mountain View continues to provide a vital cluster of ministries that collectively represent God's living presence in this community. That's something I know I want to help preserve, maintain, and grow. Before coming to Boulder, I taught at Texas A&M. There we attended a very young and very small church, and about half the congregation, half the Sunday morning souls left for Sunday school after the children's moment because they were under 10 years old. So it was tight. After a year or two, I found myself on that church's equivalent of the church council. And we met once a month, and I soon discovered that I needed to bring my checkbook because at almost every meeting, there was a bill that needed to be paid, sometimes two. And we debated the merits. We discussed whether we could defer or whether we needed to spend that money at all. But several times each year, we decided that the expense was necessary, even vital. And when that happened, we brought out our checkbooks, divided the bill by 12, and wrote the check. Well, I'm on the church council here at Mountain View, and thankfully, I haven't been asked to bring my checkbook to meetings. But we were present when the budget was presented last November. We saw that expenses would exceed revenues. And like that church in Texas, we discussed and debated and thought soulfully about what we should do. Even before that, the Finance Committee knew that things would be tight, and so asked each ministry to identify areas where expenses could be trimmed. I chair Radical Hospitality, and last year we spent $8,500. That's for inviting people, welcoming people, fellowship events. This year, our budget is $5,000. We cut it almost by a third, over a third. We did this by discontinuing the ad in the Daily Camera and by applying for a permanent endowment grant to replace the banners to welcome people at Christmas Eve and Easter. Back to November, after much discussion and debate, Church Council decided to ask the congregation, you, to step up to the challenge of funding the ministries that support us and allow us to be a vital force of God's presence here in this community. Finance Committee and Steward Committee came up with a MAPRL campaign. We thought this would be the best time to ask for that shortfall. Reaching the $50,000 goal will fill the deficit. It's a deficit that didn't happen in 1 year. It happened a little bit each of the past 3 years, and we were borrowing from what we call dedicated funds to carry us over until plate offerings came in. But this is a time we thought it needed to be done or we'd have to take some drastic cuts. We want to put us on sound ground. We want to eliminate that cloud of uncertainty that, quite frankly, can paralyze our staff and ourselves. Can we do it? Can we afford it? What can we afford to do? So we wanted to give ourselves one big chance to put the financial health of the congregation in order so that we could move forward with our heads high and remain this vibrant, vital part of the community that we all love. So I'm asking you to participate in MAPRL. As an usher, I know that many of you have already made your pledge. As Steve McGrath always said, you can always give more. And how much is Mountain View worth to you? How much is it worth to this community? So please get out your checkbooks. That's the amount to fill in, and then put it in. And as Tom Modell likes to say, we'll keep the lights on for you. Thank you.
Will you take now a time to greet one another in God's love?
Please join us in our congregational introit.
Joy to meet our God, forgiven, loved, and free, in awe and wonder to recall his life laid down for you and me. As Christ breaks bread and bids us share, each proud division ends. The love that made us makes us one, and strangers are now friends. May we have a heart of hospitality in hearing your invitation this day. O God, amen.
Would you be seated? Would the children of the congregation please come forward? We're going to play a game. Come on, Isis. Come and play with us. All right. Who here knows how to play Simon Says? Who knows how to play Simon Says? Okay. Simon says that you do something and then you do it. If I say you do something, you don't necessarily do it, right? So Simon says, touch your nose. Simon says, pull your ear. Simon says, touch your nose again. Touch your eye. Oh, good job. All right. Simon says, stomp your left foot. Stomp your right foot. Oh, I got you. Right? Let's see. Simon says, quack like a duck. Makes sound like a chicken. Good job that time. Simon says, touch your forehead. Simon says, touch your chin. Simon says, touch your ear. Simon says, touch your cheek. Simon says, touch your knee. Touch your foot. Oh, I got you. Following the leader can be hard to do, can't it? Because you have to listen carefully. You have to pay attention. Please rise for our centering hymn, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. You may be seated. And I want to take this opportunity to share with you a number of prayer concerns, some of which are printed for you in the bulletin. Phil Youngren found himself at home again, but he had been in health care for a time, as are Roberta Nally and Jim Bender. They're both in health care at this time at Fraser Meadows. Continue prayers for Caroline Moore as she anticipates more surgery in the month of May. Warren Barker is at Good Sam's Hospital expecting to go home or to care following a fall that he had where he bruised four of his ribs. Dave Beatty is at Sunrise, and Ruth Cross is at Flatiron, so we have some other people there as well. Prayers for Grace Zabel's family. Grace passed away late in April. So with those prayer concerns in mind, and also your own concerns, please bow with me as we prepare to receive these offerings. Gracious God, touch our hearts with a measure of the concern and love and ability that are shared in the song we just sang. Help us to be your people in all things and in all places, and to bear one another's burdens with love. We pray this through Jesus Christ. Amen. Ushers.
Let us break bread together on our knees.
For the gift that keeps the lights on, God, we give you thanks. For the gift that enables visitations in the hospital, we shout your praises. For the gift of hearts, many hearts, given to you in love, we count you worthy. Heavenly Father, remember us to bring our worth, our wealth, and our checkbooks to the aid of your church. Strengthen us for the living of these days. Let us be your people in this place, woven together in love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Today I'll be reading from John 15, 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have known you. I have known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Zoe. Well, birthdays and parties have been on my mind lately. We just celebrated Mac's birthday this last week, and Lydia will turn 2 in less than 3 weeks. I can't believe it. Such events, plus the roots of Southern hospitality that are in my blood, make me ever aware of the multiple pieces involved and the importance of each nuance in hosting a good party or dinner. It's more than just mint in a water glass, right? An invite can take on more than just a generous question of, hey, you want to come over? And opening one's door. It becomes a dance and a relationship that, in the best of moments, evokes joy, beauty, and sweet memories. The invite implies hospitality will follow and bring you in. Now, I know many of you actually have Southern hospitality in your core, and others of you just throw a great dinner party. So, I'm curious, what is important to you? What's necessary? What are the special nuances that you include in your gatherings? Food, and don't run out of it. Lots of food, okay? What other things? Yeah, Susan. Candles, great, thank you. Others. Music, great. Friends, excellent. Flowers, that's a good one.
Family,
good one.
Sweet tea.
Sweet tea, there you go. And don't run out of it. That's great. Well, I've taken some good notes. These are good examples. This time when I read the passage from John that Zoe read for us, which is the same passage that Mac and I used at our wedding, the Holy Spirit revealed an invitation from the Trinity that I hadn't noticed before. Abide in my love. Abide, the word that I often consider to mean drawing me in for rest or to dwell at ease also holds this invitational character. Come be with me, it's saying. I can't wait to make a place, a party, even a peace for you as a host. God has done this first, and Jesus follows God's way. We are welcomed thus into this relationship and love, this experience as a lived reality of hospitable presence. We step through the open door, and then, well, possibilities are boundless. Will you pray with me? At your invitation, the open door and the laid out table before us, oh God, we pause with a deep breath. We want to trust that what you have prepared for us will not only surprise us, but fulfill your promises that we know at the deepest part of our souls. So we abide in your presence to fully know you as love. Amen. Hospitality, as we have mentioned, elicits more than warm soups and mint juleps. It's an expression of being for and with others that offers a gift and promise of all that's good, from nourishment and protection, joy and fruitfulness. And like the best of traditions or rituals that enliven the spirit and bolster the social fabric, this is a practice that has been lived out for generations over millennia. The Hebrew people, our faith ancestors, upheld hospitality to the extent that it was a law, as much as it was a gift, an essential quality of character that revealed the best of humanity and honored the holy. In the ancient Middle East, hospitality encompassed many acts and attitudes. First, people, even the poorest of people, took in strangers and foreigners. During times of great war and destruction, when families could barely feed their own children, they would be sure to offer a crumb or a slice of bread to a stranger. The hungry visitor was always fed. The weary always found a place to relax. Now, the Hebrew people saw this as a basic act and a legal obligation with serious consequences. It's said that Abraham and Job left four doors open, one on each side of their home, so strangers and visitors would have easy access to their home. The Jewish law also called a host to have an attitude and heart toward the stranger, one of sacrificial and genuine care. Now, this law took on some nuances. First, it said hosts were not to watch their guests too carefully and attentively. You know, maybe let them go to their bathroom by themselves, right? But it also said that it was against the law to appear miserable when a guest arrived. So if ever you're feeling that attitude, no, it's against the Hebrew law. Put a smile on your face. In these practices, we see one gift of hospitality as nourishment. This nourishment covers the body as well as the emotion and spirit of a person through love, connection, and purpose. When we peek back at John's passage, we will find there we're invited to abide and in such receive a friendship that is equal and uplifting for all involved. Likewise, Jesus extends nourishment through a call and purpose for us to claim for ourselves. Love one another as I have loved you, Jesus said. He even said it again, love one another. Thus, our inner well-being and our interpersonal connections find nourishment at great depths and lengths. Like a warm cup of hot chocolate on a winter's evening, or soft bread with butter shared around a table, the nourishment of abiding with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit feeds the soul as well as our whole selves. The hospitality of ancient Middle East certainly provided food for body and soul, regardless of circumstance. But this time and place came with extra complications for travelers. People traveled by foot or by animal. They didn't have a GPS. And they also may have had limited understanding of the cultural, the rituals, the rules of the far-off places that they went. Travelers didn't have Rick Steves' guidebook to tell them who to tip, where the best watering hole was for their donkey, or even what to wear so they weren't taken advantage of. Travelers were vulnerable as they passed in and out of communities. And what was interesting is that those foreigners who decided to settle in a particular community maintained that status as a foreigner because they were not allowed to own land. So somehow they were still set apart. But due to the value and integrated culture of hospitality, this hospitable practice extended to travelers and foreign residents. By teaching and including them in community rituals and activities. In so doing, the residents of those communities provided a layer of protection to the vulnerable nomads, travelers, and refugees in the land. They essentially were saying, "You are one of us. We want you to know about what makes us who we are. And so, learn the ways of our community." This expression of protection afforded through hospitality resides deeply in the meaning of Jesus' words, "As the Father has loved me, so I love you. I have told you everything the Father has told me." Here is Jesus teaching the way of God for us as foreigners, for those who are traveling into the heart of God. He is saying, this is the way, the ritual, the way of being with one another. And so, follow me, just as God has done before. Jesus assures his disciples and us that because we are together with God the Father, we are surrounded with care and essential truth, reality, and power. This oneness with the holy imbues us with the protection and wisdom of living as a beloved child. Now, in Jesus' words, he details and reveals that this protection of God through Jesus goes way beyond, to the furthest extent, to the extent of sacrifice. He offers himself as part of this protection. And we can see it in other expressions as well. To stand in front of the bullet for another. To take on a false and crippling reputation for another. To pick the most undesirable as the most valued friend. All of these illustrate that sacrificial and abiding love, the hospitable heart of God. Well, for one final example of hospitality fully embraced by the Jewish ancestors, I want to turn toward Nehemiah. Now, our kids down there learned about Nehemiah during this fall at Christ Carousel and learned about how Nehemiah helped rebuild Jerusalem and the wall of protection that surrounded the city. Following this moment of influential leadership and renewing the spirits of the Israelites who had just come out of exile from Babylon, Nehemiah becomes a governor. Over time, it comes to his attention that people are being exploited, even enslaved due to debts. From his position, he thus challenged exploiters and then proceeded to change many systems to care for the least of these, especially those finding themselves in those financial positions. He organized relief programs for those in distress. He made long-term financial reforms so impoverished people could have livelihoods again. He simplified his own living, and get this, he reduced the taxes by paying out of his own pocket for the 150 people that were part of his administrative team. He took on their expenses for his own so that the people of the area would not have to pay for them. All of these reforms came from this abiding reality within him. He took on this practice that was motivated, that motivated him from the very beginning to help rebuild the city. He fully embodied hospitality. Nehemiah had wanted his people to have a home, so he came to help them build it. Now, on a daily basis, he opened up his house, spread his table full of food so that his co-workers and citizens alike would have a place to be invited home and provided a space where they could thrive by being together. Nehemiah illustrates fruitfulness that comes with abiding with God, finding nourishment, protection, and purpose for holy hospitality. Now, I want you to consider a recent dinner or party or gathering that you hosted, and I suspect that you would be able to identify a place where you bore fruit as well. Sometimes this is kind of hard to grasp. Like, what would it look like for me to bear fruit? We don't usually use those words, right? But I would offer these examples as a possibility. In your gathering, you helped develop new friendships, or you deepened old ones. Maybe you helped rekindle the value of fellowship, the value of being vulnerable and taking care of one another. Perhaps this gathering even created the space for imagination and insights to touch another's heart. How many times have you left a party or you're washing dishes afterward and you said, man, that Joe, he had something interesting to say. Oh, Susie, I want to talk to her again. I really think she's on to something. It fosters this idea of being connected further and beyond. And those are expressions of fruitfulness. If you're 6 or 7, you may have even given away a party bag so people remember the experience. All of these are the dynamic result of hospitality, of abiding. This is the fruit. And Jesus even warned us about it. He told us to be alert. I chose you, Jesus said, so you will bear fruit that lasts. Fruitfulness takes on many facets. But when you have a heart of hospitality, that fruitfulness will come in a combination of God's will and love, partnering with you and with us as we abide, with awareness and openness of heart. Now, out of all of this, we have joy, a deep, surprising, complete joy. This was the promise that Jesus wanted and hoped for us, that we would have complete joy, even though it might be unearned, unexpected, and new. The first time Mac met my family was rather surprising. Now, I knew it, my family had it in him, but we showed up at my aunt's house the day after Christmas and were greeted with squeals, big hugs, and a meal that could serve an army. My aunt came out with her leopard print shoes and matching outfit. My mom just ran and hugged Mac, and like I said, I knew this was a part of them. But even still, this expression of hospitality, of welcoming him and me into their lives, exuded joy. And the joy was thus embedded within us at this homecoming. Beyond the deep and surprise of joy comes the fact that joy brings hope and a curiosity. What does this connection mean? How is my nourished soul encouraged and where might it take me? How does this encounter of being cared for contrast the angst and indifference of the world? And the joy holds assurance that God's promises are fulfilled in holy and human presence and partnership. We feel joy as we are known by love. Love who hosts. Love, the Holy Trinity in action and being, ever invites us to abide, to find a dwelling place in the heart of nourishment, to rest surrounded by intense and true protection, even of purpose, and to know a meaning of magnitude that produces fruit and joy. Again, today we are invited to the Holy Host's table, a table to nourish, remind, and embolden our steps to take the heart of hospitality with us wherever we go. This is us following the leader, following Simon, for as Jesus said, I call you to love one another, even as God has loved me, I love you. So love one another. This morning, when you come to the communion table, know that you come to a place where you can abide in that great sense of the word with nourishment, protection, fruitfulness, and deep joy. You abide with God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we prepare ourselves for our time of communion, for our time of coming to this table where we've been invited just as ourselves, we can also come knowing that we prepare ourselves for this table. Just like you might put on a clean shirt and brush your teeth before you go to a party, I want you to imagine this time of confession and reflection with God as a time in which you set aside and confess those things that might hinder you, pride or fear or uncertainty or doubt. Allow those to be set aside so that you can come fully and know the whole enchilada of this experience. Let us seek peace with God and one another in this time of confession. We sing for your mercy, O God. Sinners, this proves God's love for us. In Jesus Christ, we are all forgiven. And all God's people said, Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Lord, it is a good to give you thanks and praise. It is good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, creator of heaven and earth, giver of abiding love. As you shape all of creation, holding us in your intimate care, we see your promise fulfilled. You promised that you would be with us always. You promised the coming of an anointed one who would lead the people to peace and righteousness. You promised that life through love would be for all. In hopeful anticipation, therefore, of living into your emerging beauty, O God, we give you thanks. God of creation, God of salvation, God of beauty, and God of all of us. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, singing.
Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and holy is your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh, who crossed the threshold from eternity to earthly time in order to show us the way of your love through relationship with him and with each other. Jesus healed the sick and restored the broken. He became vulnerable to the point of death to relate with us. Holy are you, and holy is your Son, Jesus Christ, who was betrayed by those who loved him, who was persecuted by those who feared him, who was crucified by those who thought his death would be the end of him. And so on the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread. He broke it and gave thanks to God, and then gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, this is my body given for you. Every time you eat of it, remember me." And then he took the cup of salvation, and offered thanks. And then giving it to his disciples, he said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of a new covenant. This is my invitation that you might abide with the Holy Trinity now and forever. Every time you drink of this, remember me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Will you pray with me? Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Make this be a balm, an outpouring of your grace through the Holy Spirit, that we may be healed and made whole in Jesus Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Our Father, which art in heaven,
hallowed
be
thy name.
Thy
kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
and the glory forever.
Amen. Well, those of you who are helping serve communion, come forward now. This table, this invitation is open for everyone. It's not just the United Methodist Church, but for all people. You are welcome to come and taste and know that God is good. Come by the center aisle at the usher's leading. There you go. And then you can return by the side aisles. There will be healing prayer available here in the over by the choir loft. Come and know that God is good. Thank you.
taste and see that God is a part of your life.
Will you share a prayer of thanksgiving with me? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for inviting us again to this table where we might find nourishment and protection of our souls and our bodies and our whole selves. Give us, as we have taken in this invitation, give us the courage and excitement to take it out into the world with your praise on our lips and bread in our hands. We pray all of this in your Son's name. Amen. Now let us stand and sing. Sisters in Christ, we share this one invitation from God, this abiding invitation that we might experience that in its fullness in all of our lives. And may that invitation, may we follow God in sharing that invitation in the world. Go with God's peace and grace this day and evermore. Amen.
Amen.